Trinadapi sinichena torariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama kevalam kalo nasyeva gatiranyata harinama kevalam kalo nasyeva gatiranyata. Bhagavad Gita as it is, introduction. Continuing. In the effulgent rays of the spiritual sky, there are innumerable planets floating. The Brahma Jyoti emanates from the supreme abode, Krishna Loka, and the Anandamai Chinmai planets, which are not material, float in those rays. The Lord says, Natad basayate suyo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatva na nivartante tad dhamma paramang mama. One who can approach that spiritual sky is not required to descend again to the material sky. In the material sky, even if we approach the highest planet, Brahma Loka, what to speak of the moon, we will find the same conditions of life, namely birth, death, disease, and old age. No planet in the material universe is free from these four principles of material existence. The living entities are traveling from one planet to another, but it is not that we can go to any planet we like merely by mechanical arrangement. If we desire to go to other planets, there is a process for going there. This is also mentioned, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, Prithrin Yanti Prithri Vrata. No mechanical arrangement is necessary if we want interplanetary travel. The Gita instructs, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan. The moon, the sun, and higher planets are called Svargaloka. There are three different statuses of planets, higher, middle, and lower planetary systems. The earth belongs to the middle planetary system. Bhagavad Gita informs us how to travel to the higher planetary systems, Devaloka, with a very simple formula, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan. One need only worship the particular demigod of that particular planet, and in that way go to the moon, the sun, or any of the higher planetary systems. Yet, Bhagavad Gita does not advise us to go to any of the planets in this material world, because even if we go to Brahmaloka, the highest planet, through some sort of mechanical contrivance, by maybe traveling for 40,000 years, and who would live that long? We will still find the material inconveniences of birth, death, disease, and old age. But who wants to approach the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, or any of the other planets within the spiritual sky, will not meet with these material inconveniences. Amongst all of the planets in the spiritual sky, there is one supreme planet called Goloka Vrindavan, which is the original planet in the abode of the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. All of this information is given in Bhagavad Gita And we are given through its instruction information how to leave the material world and begin a truly blissful life in the spiritual sky. Okay, so the soul already is Sachid Ananda. Right now, our spiritual body is covered. When we go back to Godhead, our original spiritual body will be manifested. So that spiritual body is also Sat Chit Ananda, because that's the nature of the soul. In the material world, that Sat Chit Ananda feature is covered by the material body, just like you have a glove on your hand. The glove is not the hand, but the glove gives you some idea that there is a hand. When the glove is taken off, you see the real hand. So you have a spiritual body, but right now, like a glove, it's covered by this body, namely the gross material body and the subtle material body. When you achieve spiritual perfection, the gross and subtle material body is dissolved, and what comes out is pure spirit soul. And then you are awarded a spiritual body to serve Krishna, either in Vaikuntha or Krishna Loka. Does that answer your question? You will not be equal to Krishna, never at any time. You have the same qualities of Krishna, but quantitatively, you're still minute. Correct. Yes, and so is that soul. That soul never, the soul itself never touches or actually is contaminated by the material nature. The soul is always pure. You understand? The only reason we experience material existence is because the soul has given power of attorney over to the material mind. Therefore, what's Lord Chaitanya's first instruction? Anybody? Yes. Lord Chaitanya's first instruction, cleanse the mind. Or in the words of Kapila, dissolve it. You dissolve the material mind by chanting and devotional service. When the mind, the material mind is dissolved, because everything takes place, changes take place from subtle to gross. Once the original seed is dissolved, the thing is gone. Same thing, Bhaktivinod says, right? Jeev jago, gora chanda bole. Wake up. What is that waking up? That waking up means coming to Krishna consciousness. Stop identifying with the body and mind. Start to identify as eternal servant of Krishna. And the quickest way to do that, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Crystal? Okay. A Paurasheya means not compiled by a mundane person. So, who spoke the first words of Bhagavatam? Who spoke the first words? Brahma? Narayan. At the dawn of creation, who did he speak to? Brahma. So there's the beginning, right? Even in the Christian Bible, they have this thing. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God. So even in the Christian Bible, they have some sort of idea of this. So right there in our Vedic literatures, right there, it's mentioned in Second Canto. Brahma wakes up, doesn't know how to create, does austerities. Narayan appears to him, and the first knowledge is the Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam. After that comes your Vedas and everything else. The first thing is the four verses of Bhagavatam. Now, is Narayan a mundane personality? No. If you think that Narayan's a mundane personality, then according to the Vedas, you're a Pashandi. You're an atheist. Because you don't understand. Yes, but he's still God. He's still not a mundane. Does he have defects? Does Narayan have defects? Not like a conditioned soul. Narayan is perfect. He cannot make mistakes. So the first four verses of Bhagavatam spoken by Narayan are perfect. It's perfect knowledge. No debate. You either accept it or reject it. So this is how Prabhupada in the Ishopanishad, he's saying that if you want to quickly understand, you have to accept that this Vedic knowledge is perfect. There's no defect. Why? Well, first of all, Narayan. Then all the other Vedic literatures, who wrote them down? Vyasadeva. And we say Bhagavan Rishi. He's God in the form of a saint. And on your Guru Purnima day, who do you worship? Vyasadeva. Why? Because all our Vedas and all our Puranas and Itihasas and everything that we study, who does it come from? Comes from Vyas. And if you think, oh, he's just a guy, then why waste time? Why would you waste your time, right? You can read so many, you know, magazine articles and internet articles, right? Everybody has their opinion about the politics, about the economics, but you don't get too bent out of shape because you know, well, he's just another human being. That's his opinion. He may be right, he may be wrong. So you take it or leave it. Nobody's keeping, like Prabhupada makes this point, nobody's keeping their newspapers for year after year after year to study. You read the newspaper, you throw it away. But Bhagavad Gita, we keep. Because it's transcendental knowledge spoken by a transcendental person without any defects. And therefore, so, we should not reject that which does not. So, in the Bhagavatam, what does it say? Lord Korma, Lord Tortoise, was 800 million miles long. Do you think anybody on Fox News is going to accept that? No. I accept it. Why? Because Prabhupada convinced me. I accept the Vedic literature, and what is our Bhagavad Gita called? As it is. Right. You all know, how long did Krishna hold up Govardhan Hill? And how old was he? Seven. So what seven-year-old boy do you know lifts a hill and holds it up for 7 days, right? Now, do you think that's mythology? You think that's just a story? Or do you accept it as it is? In the Pushti Marg, that's their deity, right? Krishna holding up Govardhan Hill. So it's crucial. This point is crucial. Otherwise, your reading and understanding is going to be difficult. There's going to be so many doubts. But if you can accept that this is perfect transcendental knowledge, not spoken by a mundane person, then you can quickly progress easily. All right, continue reading. Plenary means full, means full power, full potency. Not the same features, but Vishnu Tattva, they all have equal power as God. So plenary means full. The features are different, and as we know from Nectar of Devotion, Krishna has those four extra features. What? Okay. The word plenary means full. So whether it's Krishna, Narayan, Vishnu, they all have equal power. That's God, Vishnu, Tattva. The difference would be in features. For instance, Narayan has four hands, Krishna has two. Narayan is beautiful, but not as beautiful as Krishna. Guna, no, not, no, okay, wait. Now you're going to a different category. I said Vishnu Tattva. So only one of the Guna avatars is Vishnu Tattva. Brahma and Shiva are not Vishnu Tattva. Purusha avatars, yes, that's Vishnu Tattva. Okay? Yes. Yes, that's exactly. Yes, that's perfect. Brahma Sanhita explains this. You have all these candles. When they're lit, they all have the same lighting power. But one was used to light all the others. That candle is Krishna. Correct? Perfect example. Thank you. Narayan is one of the candles, same as Ram. Not Shiva, not Brahma, because that's not Vishnu Tattva. Shiva is in his own separate category, and Brahma is a Jiva. Except sometimes, when there's no Jiva qualified, Narayan takes the position of Brahma. Yes, Krishna has 64, Narayan has 60, Lord Shiva has 55, and the living entity up to Lord Brahma can manifest 50. But even those 50, poquito, poquito, poquito. All right. We are infinitely poquito. Infinitely poquito. Just look. Okay, you know how they have this thing, the 1% and the 99%? Okay? So 1% compared to 99% is like, you know. So 1.5, does it make that much difference? Okay, go ahead. Told you that story of that guy I met in Panama. The guy was 70 years old. So he's an Indian guy. And when he saw me, he said, "Oh, Prabhuji, I like to go to the clubs. I like to drink. I like to see the girls dancing." And so I said to him, "But aren't you worried about the time of death? When are you going to start spiritual life?" "Oh, when I get old." He's 70 years old and he's thinking, "When I get old." There's no hope for such a person. Go on. That's exactly what Lord Chaitanya advised Rupa and Sanatan when they came to surrender. And that is considered their initiation. That is exactly the instruction. Continue. It's not necessarily birth, but it's the nature you are born with. Because, for instance, Prahlad Maharaj was born in a demon family. But did he have a demon nature? No. He had a devotee nature. So it's not the birth, but it's the nature with which you are born with. That nature came from what you have developed life after life after life after life. You've developed a certain nature. Then you take your birth accordingly. In the Vedic times, because people performed Garbhadan Sanskar, then yes, Brahmanas gave birth to Brahmanas. Because they did the Garbhadan Samskar, then it was arranged that a particular soul was placed in that family because the parents conceived under certain consciousness and therefore a certain child was born. So in the Vedic times, before Kali Yuga, pretty much you could say that if you were born in a Brahmin family, you were a Brahman, because of Garbhadan Samskar. But in Kali Yuga, there's no Garbhadan Samskar, and therefore, that's why that phrase comes, Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Everybody in Kali Yuga, more or less, is born Shudra. But even still, you have a nature that you've developed. And by training, by culture, then yes, you can, because notice he used the word act or works. We read the previous paragraph. So it's how you act, how you work, not how you were born, right? Just because your father is a doctor, you're not necessarily a surgeon. Would you go to an operation and the guy says, oh yeah, I was born in a doctor family. Yeah, but do you have any... No, but I was born in a doctor family, therefore I'm a doctor. Would you go to that guy? No, because he doesn't have the training. And conversely, somebody may be born in a Sudra family, but if he has the training as a doctor or engineer, then you take that person because he has that training. All right. I heard a story, but I didn't read it, so I haven't heard it from Prabhupada, therefore I won't answer. Next. Yes, that's a... Yes, what kind of family was Haridas Thakur born? Muslim. Malecha Yavana family. Well, why did Lord Chaitanya make him Namacharya? Because he had the nature and he was doing the work. How much chanting was he doing? 16 rounds? 192 rounds. How often? Every day. Doesn't sound like a Muslim to me, does it? They do what, prayers, 5 times a day? He's doing 22 and a half hours a day, namaz. Is that what they call it?
Yes.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, no. So, by his activities, so that's how you tell who is a pure devotee. You see by their activities that they're not just, you know, they put on a good show, and then when they're not doing their lecture, they're drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes. What kind of acharya is that? No. And we saw with Prabhupada, the devotees were living with him. They saw Prabhupada was getting up early in the morning. Prabhupada was worshiping the deities. Prabhupada was chanting japa 16 rounds every day. Prabhupada was giving class. Prabhupada was cooking. Prabhupada was cleaning. By his example, he showed the Americans, Mlechas and Yavanas, this is how, that's why he's Acharya. He taught by his personal example. Otherwise, these Westerners, us, we never would have done it. But because we saw Prabhupada was doing it, we said, hey, because we had grown up with priests and rabbis and this and that, and we saw these guys are not spiritual. But when we saw Prabhupada, we say, hey, here's the real deal. Here's somebody that's the real thing. He walks the walk. He talks the talk. It's not just he gives big, big lectures and then, you know, enjoys 95 Rolls Royces and has girlfriends. No, he showed us exactly what he was teaching, he himself was doing. Okay, yes, this is another good point. First thing you have to do is fix your mind on Krishna. Then automatically everything will fall into place. The famous verse that describes Ambarish. What's the first line? Savai Manak Krishna Padara Vindayo. In the Bhagavad Gita, twice, what's the first word? Manmana. Think of me. So, and Lord Chaitanya again, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. So first you think of Krishna. Then as soon as you're thinking of Krishna, automatically everything else will fall into place. Like conversely, Donald Trump, what's the first thing he's thinking of? Either himself or money. He's Trump conscious. Yes. He's meditating constantly. How I can win that White House. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Shh. Keep your thoughts to yourself. Prabhupada is saying this is the sum and substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita. If one adopts the principles, okay, and what has he been talking about? He's been talking about in this last two paragraphs, what has he been mostly talking about? Yes, thinking of Krishna. The last couple of paragraphs has been fixing the mind on Krishna. That is the sum and substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Okay, give the mic to Gopika. Oh, okay, Nishkama, you read, because now we're coming to a conclusion. I knew that. Is that you don't have time to read all the Vedic literatures, and you're not going to do it anyway. So therefore, if you have something which is the essence of all of them, just do that. You'll get the essence. Continue. Yes, because we were saying at the beginning, it's not like a Harry Potter book or any other book. It's spoken by God himself. So what more do you want, unless you don't understand what religion or God is? Continue. Bhishma said, you are the original Narayan. Anybody going to argue with Bhishma? No. Because Krishna is absolute, so if you think of his name, you're thinking of Krishna. If you're thinking of Krishna's qualities, you're thinking of Krishna. If you're thinking of Krishna's words, you're thinking of Krishna. If you're thinking of Krishna's form, you're thinking of Krishna. If you're thinking of Krishna's pastimes or his devotees, you're thinking of Krishna. The idea is as much and as purely that you can think of Krishna, that's Krishna conscious. Now, the further away you get from direct thinking of Krishna, now you're getting into that gray area, because from the gray area, now you're drifting, again, you're in Maya. So you always, as much as possible, you want to think as closely to Krishna as possible. For instance, in the Bhagavatam, The sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka, they say at some point to Suta Goswami that we have all these questions we're going to ask you, but only answer them as they relate to Krishna. Because you can answer a question in so many ways. Because these sages of Naimisharanya, they wanted to become absorbed of Krishna. So that's why when they asked their questions, they said, but only as it pertains to Krishna. Now, what was your second question, sir? It is said that by one pure utterance of the name Krishna, you cannot commit enough sinful activities that one utterance of Krishna cannot wipe out. So, first of all, you're never going to calculate it. Second of all, you should agree or you should realize, I must have committed unlimited. So just take it, but that's okay. Are you chanting Hare Krishna? You're absolved. Or as Jesus, when Jesus would save somebody, when Jesus would heal with somebody, he would say, now sin no more. So you may have done, I have done, but from now going forward, no more hanky-panky. Be straight, be clean, be pure, and come to Kundanloka. Very good. All right, we finished the introduction, so if somebody wants to collect the books, that would be dear. So in our next session, we will go to phase two. There are three phases to this Bhagavad Gita seminar. So we finished phase one. Now we're going to go to phase two. And in phase two, I will have Krishna Kumar make printouts. And we're going to go through Bhagavad Gita from a different angle of vision. We're going to study, because I did the homework, you can thank me later. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, just like we read, Prabhupada said, in summary, right? That was the last paragraph, in summary. So I went through Bhagavad Gita, and you'll see that this term, in summary, shows up quite a lot. So I took all those in summary, made it into a pamphlet, and that will be phase two. So you don't want to miss any episode here at Kundanloka. Okay? And then we're going to go to phase three. Now, phase three is going to be the most intensive, because that means we're going to go through all the English translations section by section. And that's another homework I did. I went through the whole Bhagavad Gita and broke it out section by section. After phase three, if you don't understand Bhagavad Gita, you'll have to read it again. Chant the Maha Mantra, please.